Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
There's a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country. And there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Saturday night edition of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board for me, as he is wont to be, Mr. Tim Dennis, my co-host and producer. Good evening, Mr. Dennis.
Good evening. I want to be.
Well, don't
no,
you?
I'm kidding. Yeah, I do.
You want to?
Well, yeah.
I want you to. You make me sad.
Aw, you complete me.
Aw.
Aw.
So what's this Hannity's cutting into our biz? Did you see that?
I don't know. We might have to cap him at the knees.
I think so.
Yeah.
I just was watching on Fox News. So for those of you listening, check Fox News. They'll repeat it again. They always, these channels, four channels up here repeat all night long, it seems. But they were doing something called like Beyond Belief. And it was, I know they had Lisa Williams on there. They had Saints. They had 666 pop up on the screen a couple times. So they've got something with the paranormal going on. I just can't hear the TVs. Why do we have TVs in the news studio? It's to keep us up to date on breaking news,
because,
but we can't hear it.
Yeah, because your job is to read the ticker, not watch TV.
How do I read the ticker?
You know, the ticker at the bottom of the screen.
I know, but like it gives you like news. No information.
So if there's stuff that's flashing, like breaking news, and then it'll be coming in, then you could say, hey, we interrupt this paranormal moment to let you know that the world's ending. You know, something like that.
Co-producer Tim Dennis has crochet hook accident, more at 11.
Yep, well, you
that's
know.
That's no good.
I shouldn't crochet in my lap.
Speaking of crocheting.
Yeah?
Nicole's not with us tonight.
She's busy crocheting.
Yeah, I don't know. She's making scarves.
She's making pot holders for
New Year's. No, she went out for a holiday. She's out somewhere, and she's like 20,000 leagues above the sea level, and she can't get a cell signal.
Or a DVD player?
No.
Ah.
Either one.
Yeah.
They don't work well, I guess, at that level.
It's
so, which is fine, because we actually, I got a chance to watch a movie this week.
Ooh.
Can you believe it?
As did I.
Did you? What kind of movie did you see?
My sister took me today for
Christmas.
Okay,
the movie that I watched was... Oh, yeah. Just kidding. Go on. What movie did you go see?
The Spirit.
Oh, how'd you like that?
That was okay. It's very... If you're... Well,
he wants to know why I don't let him in do more on the show. How was it?
Well,
it was okay.
Well, you're not going to let me say any more than that.
Go ahead.
So I just figured
I'd
say it's okay.
All right, you go ahead. You're going to give your review tonight on this, and then I'll do my review in a minute.
All right, well, the only thing paranormal about The Spirit is the fact that this cop was killed and then comes back to life.
Well, that's pretty paranormal. You're kind of dismissing it.
No, well, you know, that's the only
paranormal
aspect.
So is he the spirit?
Is who the spirit? The spirit?
The cop that was shot and came back to life?
Well, yeah, that's the basis of it. That, okay. And he gets these powers of immortality where you can shoot him, you can stab him, whatever, and he heals, okay? But you find out that his archenemy, the octopus, also has these same powers. It's played by Samuel L. Jackson. And I'm not revealing anything huge by telling you this. And it turns out that the octopus gave him these powers because he was the coroner at the time that this cop died.
Okay.
So he injected him first, the spirit first.
Now are you giving us too much information?
No.
Okay.
No. Has nothing to do with the end of the movie.
Okay.
So both the octopus and the spirit have these same powers.
Mm-hmm.
The movie itself looks very much like a Frank Miller comic would look like if you
yeah, like 300 and Sin City movies, right?
Like those movies, more like Sin City.
Okay.
More like Sin City than 300. And, you know, the cinematography is great. The only problem I have with it is Frank Miller likes to update things mm-hmm. from their original.
Right. Well,
timeline.
This is a Will Eisner comic book from the 30s, right?
Well, 30s and 40s. Yeah,
right,
it was a pulp magazine, then a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
It very much has a 40s look. Unfortunately,
right.
There are things like huge guns and cell phones and things that kind of try to bring it to the current time.
Those were
time.
Pretty popular in 1938.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, especially the ones that flip open and have the QWERTY keyboard so you can text.
Yes.
And the only other problem I have with it, the lines are a little too cheesy. They came straight out of the pulp magazine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, the dialogue's not the greatest.
All right.
Yeah.
But overall, a decent movie, entertaining. For it on DVD?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, either pay matinee price for it, mm-hmm. you won't be disappointed, or wait for it to come out on DVD, because it tries to be too cute. It tries to be too Frank Miller-ish. It tries to be too over the top at times. And you're kind of like, okay, come on, you know.
All right.
Not really in the spirit of the spirit, so to speak. If you read the old pulp magazines and the old comic books, you'll get some of the references. But it's a movie for everybody. If I got to give it out of 5 stars, I'd probably give it 2.5.
All right.
Yeah.
So about half as good as it should have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we got some cool stuff. First of all, the movie I watch is Resident Evil Degeneration. Okay. And I'm a big zombie fan.
Degeneration or Degeneration X with Shawn Michaels and Triple H?
No. This is just Degeneration.
Oh, all right.
And, you know, I'm a big fan of the Resident Evil video games. I love the 3 movies. So I wanted to see this. This is the first ever CG movie for the Resident Evil. And I'll go into that in a minute. But for those of you that haven't seen it or heard about this, Resident Evil Degeneration came out on December 27th. A zombie attack brings chaos to Harvardville Airport. Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield, who fought the sinister Umbrella Corporation during the Raccoon City tragedy 7 years ago, are back. And it's a high-octane Resident Evil style. They're ready to battle a rogue warrior who is seeking revenge after his family was killed in the Raccoon City devastation. The deadly G virus is unleashed and a new mutated monster goes on the rampage. Will Claire and Leon be able to terminate the virus before history repeats itself? That's the little blurb that they give about the movie. I really liked it. First of all, I will tell you this, man, we are not too far away from not needing movie actors anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of the animation in this, you know, hands still look kind of crappy to me, but a lot of the features on the face are starting to look very realistic. As a matter of fact, the cartoon CG character that plays Claire Redfield, to me, looks like they based her on Angelina Jolie.
Oh, okay.
She just has some of her features kind of remind me of like a mix between her and Julia Roberts.
Okay.
So, but it's very realistic in style. The background, the special effects are beautifully done. I mean, it's great cinematography, if you will. Even though it wasn't filmed, it was all animated. The characters are very, very good. And I like the story. I thought it was a pretty decent little spin on the story. This movie has nothing to do with the trilogy of movies that are out there.
Okay.
Okay. This is like a kind of a direct sequel from the very first Resident Evil video game. And I guess this is going to lead you into the new Resident Evil 5 video game.
Hmm.
But overall, I'd say it wasn't frightening. But the effects are cool. A lot of cool zombie action. A lot of cool acting. And what I was surprised by was the voiceover acting was pretty decent. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of times if you watch the games, it is really stilted and staccato and doesn't sound right. And it doesn't flow. And in this, I thought it flowed really well. The story was good. The action was good. There was a lot of gratuitous violence. It's rated R for a CG cartoon.
Wow.
Yeah, and because of the violence and the shooting and the... Mm-hmm. The such, but I thought it was a pretty decent movie. It's out and available on DVD and Blu-ray right now, so go get a copy. But you know what, Tim?
What's that?
We have copies to give away.
Well, then.
How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
You like apples?
I do like apples.
How do you like them apples?
They're pretty tasty.
All right. Well, we're going to give away a copy, but don't call yet.
No.
Here's the question.
Stop little bit with of trivia. The dialing.
Here's the trivia question.
Okay.
Who was the first ever guest on Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show 3 years ago? Who was the first guest we had on? If you are the first caller only, to call up and identify this correctly, we will give you a copy of Resident Evil Degeneration, the new CG full-length animated feature. It's available. Call us at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. While we're waiting for your calls, Tim, take me across the pond.
Or take you anywhere?
I don't know.
Now, with all the weird news from around the world, it's time for the Supernatural Stories of the Strange, International Edition. Live from London, International News Correspondent Adrian Lee.
Well, good evening, Adrian, and welcome to another episode of Darkness Radio. Thanks for being here with us this evening.
Hi, Dave. Hello, America.
So I guess I lied. I told Tim to throw us across the pond. You're sitting across the board from me. You're
here
in the studio.
Just a meter apart. I can see the whites of your eyes, sir.
We are going to, you're going to be in the studio with us for the next couple of days, right?
I am indeed, if you'll have me.
I will. And we'll have you chime in during the show tonight, too.
Fantastic.
Because we got a great show, folks. So in case you don't know, in the next hour, we're going to have Sean Castile on, and we're going to be talking about signs and symbols of the second coming, which I thought is interesting because Christmas just passed, and that was the first coming.
First indeed.
So we're going to talk about the second coming, and then for those of you that might have missed the first hour, don't worry, or the second hour of the show, don't worry. If you tune in for the third hour, we're going to be talking about time travel with Tim Swartz, so you can learn how to go back and listen to the second hour interview that you might have missed. Does that make sense?
No. Give me a minute. Where's my pencil and paper?
Did we get a winner there, Tim? Nope. All right. Again, for the trivia question, if you want to win Resident Evil Degeneration, we need to know who was the first ever guest on Darkness Radio. About 3 years ago, on January 1st, 3 years ago, we aired and we had our very first guest on. First person to call in and correctly identify that will win a copy. Please, you cannot have won in the last 30 days, but give us a call at 651-989-5855. 651-989-5855. Adrian, international news correspondent par excellence, is going to be filling in tomorrow. You're going to be doing double duty this week and next week.
I'm looking forward to commenting on all things American from a European perspective.
Excellent. You're doing international news tonight with us. You're doing national news tomorrow. And, Timothy, tomorrow night we're having Robbie Thomas on our show. And
that guy who sees UFOs all the time?
Yeah, no, that's Robbie Williams.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have Robbie Thomas on our show, the psychic medium. We're going to be talking about predictions for the year 2009.
Yep.
So we've got Robbie's already sent me, I won't open an email, but he's already sent me his top 10 predictions. And he gets really in-depth in this stuff.
It'll be hermetically sealed in a mayonnaise jar under Funk and Wagnall's porch.
And then you're going to put in you're going to put in 10.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put in 10, mm-hmm. And Adrian has agreed to join us.
Nice.
So he's going to put in 10 predictions for 2009. We're going to read those on air tomorrow. Then we're going to post them on our website so people can follow along throughout the year. We'll see which one of us. How about this? We have a deal. The one who's closest on predictions.
Well, if I'm still here in a year's time, you mean?
Yes, exactly. That may be one of my predictions. If the one that wins the most amount of predictions correctly, Tim.
Okay.
Has to buy the other two dinner. How about that?
I like it. Although I think.
You just do it. If you win, you buy us dinner is what I said.
Yeah. They have that 99-cent roast beef sandwich over at that place. Although I think Adrian's all ought to be about the band Oasis, being he's from Britain.
Every prediction should be about the band Oasis.
Yeah, obviously, naturally, being from Britain, I know everything there is to know about Oasis.
You do. So. Do you know all of those people over there, too? You just go over there and you're like, hi, Nigel.
I've met the
Queen.
Yeah.
Hi, Nigel.
Isn't one of them Nigel?
I don't know. They're all named Nigel, aren't they?
We've eaten up our time for the segment. Let's go away. We'll go to commercial. We'll come back and we'll do international news of the weird with Adrian Lee, our international news correspondent, right here on the home for the best in paranormal talk radio.
Little China Girl.
Very nice.
You like them?
Yeah.
Is this in honor of our Brit?
It is, yes. Yeah. I figured out his fetish, so I figured I'd play it.
He doesn't hit me as a Bowie fan. Are you a Bowie fan? Not at all.
I'm just trying to hit the whole British thing.
He's
right
like
now.
The Bay City Rollers.
Yeah, a little bit.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y. Night. No, it?
They'd be Scottish as opposed to English. Oh, yeah, but that's the enemy. We don't talk about that.
That's closer to than it is to us. They're the enemy. Can't we all just love each other and give peace a chance, Adrian?
Yeah, it's hard to forget Floddenfield, though.
Well, that's what they all say. Where are we off to tonight, sir?
I was just going to say, it's great to be back in the studio.
Time out, boys. Time out. What? You want to talk to
Oh, that's right.
First?
We got a winner.
Yeah. Yeah. You get all keyed up and ready to go, don't you?
I know. Hold on a second. You can't deny Tim his glory. Hold on. Ryan, we've got you on the line. You got the answer for us. Who was the very first guest that we had on Darkness Radio 3 years ago?
Jason Hawes from Ghost Hunters.
Very good. Now, you got to be honest with me. Did you know that, or did you have to go look it up on our site?
I looked it up.
I still like that answer. That means you're checking out our site. Thanks a lot, Ryan. You hold on. Tim's going to get your information. We'll get you a copy of the brand new film, Resident Evil Degeneration, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. See, Tim, I like when they listen and they are at least willing to go check out the website.
Oh, yeah.
And, I think I hung up on her.
I know. I told him to call back if he hung up on him, and
horrible.
You did.
I'm a moron. Sorry, all right. Ryan. All right. So let's go now. You wanted to say you like being back in the studio.
Yeah, now the weather's started to thaw out a bit. I suddenly realized it was only the snow that was actually filling in the potholes. So that came
this is surprise. We have the worst road systems in the world here, don't we?
I was also noticed the smell of meat that was quite prominent in the studio, so I was wondering who got the Burger King cologne for Christmas. Was it you or Tim?
It was Tim.
It was
Not
Tim,
only am I
it?
Wearing it, I'm ingesting it.
That's right.
He's nice.
He takes a couple shots under each arm and one on the tongue just to keep himself happy.
I'm impressed with your festive jumper as well. You don't normally see that color combination together, do you?
Jumper?
Sweater.
This is a t-shirt. Sweater. Jumper. All right, where are we off to tonight, sir?
Okay, starting as ever with the bizarre and strange, and far be it from me to mess up convention, we flop tragically to Russia, a country possibly colder than here at the moment, I suspect. A man complaining that impotence tablets he bought did not work has shot and injured a saleswoman at a North Moscow sex shop, Russian media reports. He drew a pistol and shot the woman at least once in the heat of an argument over the tablets he had apparently bought the day before, a police source said. The saleswoman was being treated in hospital where her condition was not immediately clear. Police in the Russian capital are hunting for her attacker. I'm guessing they're not looking for a hardened criminal. What?
Do you think they're going to go soft on him when they catch him, though?
Oh, dear. He entered the shop at around 3 p.m. on Wednesday, complaining the tablets he had bought didn't help and demanded both a full refund and compensation. When the saleswoman refused his demands and an argument erupted, he produced the gun and shot her once before fleeing the shop. Although an unnamed police source actually reported the 30-year-old woman was actually hit by two shots from the pistol. So definitely not firing blanks there.
Oh, God, where are we off to next?
Okay, shooting over to my much-loved and missed country over in Britain, but keeping with all things amorous, a simple sneeze may be a telltale sign of sexual arousal for a select few, research suggests this week. Two British doctors investigated the phenomenon after reading of a middle-aged patient who had uncontrollable sneezing fits when he thought of sex. They unearthed the evidence via internet chat rooms. They found 17 others of both sexes with the same problem, and the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine's study suggests it may be down to a mix-up in the brain circuitry. Well, that's a bit of a worry right there for me. I mean, if you can easily mix up thoughts like that of a sexual arousal with everyday mundane tasks, I mean, supposing I'm on my way home tonight and I'm having those kind of thoughts to do with changing a tyre and I suddenly have a blowout on Interstate 94, I'm going to be in all sorts of problems.
I would understand if you were around somebody and felt sexually aroused and you began sneezing, because we're known to put off a pheromone.
Sure.
Which is a smell. And you could have an allergic reaction, I would guess, to a pheromone, right?
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing that they put into colognes and perfumes or pheromones. So that would make sense to me. But just the mere idea, unless you're tricking the mind like a matrixing effect.
He does say there's a Dr. Buter, a specialist in ear, nose and throat medicine at Oxford John Radcliffe Hospital, said that this could be more widespread than he thought, and it actually might be inherited. I mean, if it's inherited, it can't be that off-putting, can it? He said it certainly seems odd, but I think this reflex demonstrates an evolutionary relic in the wiring of parts of the nervous system called the autonomic nervous system. Dr. Buter said the embarrassment or social inhibition may have prevented others from admitting the problem, and he added that internet chat rooms could be a potential new tool for investigating the incidence of unusual or embarrassing symptoms that patients may or may feel appropriate. They might not feel it's appropriate to discuss with their doctor, but they're happy to discuss that over the internet. Do you think this actually goes some way to explaining Sneezy's problem when surrounded with the hot snow white chick?
That very well could be.
I mean,
I'm just wondering if he enjoys his nose blown as much. Where are we off to next?
Okay, this is my favourite story of the week. I just love this. It's brilliant. Police in Finland believe they have caught a car thief from a DNA sample taken from a mosquito they noticed inside an abandoned vehicle. Finding the car north of Helsinki, police saw the mosquito had recently sucked blood and decided to send the insect for analysis. The DNA found from laboratory tests matched the man's on the police register, and the suspect denies stealing the car and says he was actually hitching a lift with the man. The car was stolen in the town of Lapua, some 235 miles north of the Finnish capital. The police inspector in charge of the case said it was the first time Finnish police had used an insect to solve a crime. It is not usual to use mosquitoes. In training, we're not told to keep an eye on mosquitoes at crime scenes, he said. It's not an easy way to find an assailant or someone who's stolen a car. And to find a small mosquito in a car just goes to show how thorough the crime scene investigation was. A prosecutor is now actually deciding if the sample is strong enough for charges to be pressed.
Wow, that's amazing. So it's like out of the movie Jurassic Park. They were able to draw the blood and recreate dinosaurs. But with this, they're actually able to bust somebody off of a blood sample withdrawn from... That's crazy.
I thought that was fantastic. That's the best story I've read in weeks.
Yeah,
I love
that
story.
That's amazing stuff. All right, where are we going next, sir?
Okay, from the cold and frigid wastes of Finland to the ice planet Hoth in the Dagobah system. Star Wars fans are to feel the force of a seminal sci-fi film and their iconic soundtrack on stage in a major new show which will be launched next year. In Star Wars, A Musical Journey, the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra will play a live score as excerpts from the 6 films are shown on a cinema screen. The show has been put together by director George Lucas's company, Lucasfilms, and composer John Williams. It will premiere at the O2 Arena in London in April before going on a European tour. The 6 Star Wars films have been edited down to 2 hours for the show, and Williams has had painstakingly actually rewritten the entire musical score for the entire show. The Royal Philharmonic will use an 86-piece orchestra, and an accompanying exhibition will feature original models, props, costumes and production artwork. The show will open at the O2 on the 10th of April, and tickets will cost between £30 and £100, and they go on show on Monday, or go on sale on Monday. By the way, Dave, did you know that Darth Vader knew what he was getting for Christmas this year?
No, how?
Well, apparently he had felt his presence. That's exactly what That's I was
horrifying,
waiting for.
Tim.
I'm going to give you my impression now because I've got a paper cup in front of me. Are you ready?
A paper cup. He's going all out.
I've brought props with me. Are you ready?
I'm with you.
Prepare the escape pod.
Very good.
How was that?
Only I don't remember hearing the bristling of his goatee on the mask.
Yes, I'll just shave for my next impression.
All right. Where are we off to next, Mr.
Okay, Lee? Moving into an area now, Dave, I know you have a bit of a phobia about. Relatives mourning the death of a Brazilian man got the shock of their lives when the dead man opened one eye and grabbed his friend's hand during the funeral. Juan Baptista, a 70-year-old bricklayer, was taken to hospital where doctors certified him dead for a second time. Second time lucky then, not.
Oh, jeez.
Experts are investigating whether it was a reflex body movement. Mr. Baptista is now under surveillance and he's coughing at home in Sao Paulo, and local police have started an investigation. I swear, though, I've seen some crazy things while I've been investigating the paranormal, and I try and be professional. But if a dead body opened its eye and took a look at me and then grabbed my hand, I'd be reinserting my lower intestinal tract with a shoehorn at that point.
No doubt. So, okay, I can understand maybe the eye twitching or popping open as a last deal, but to pop open and then grab at you? See, that terrifies the hell out of me. Then that means what if the consciousness is still in
there,
man?
I knew this would be touching a raw nerve.
Tim! Consciousness may still be in the body. Good Lord, man.
I don't have any consciousness left in my body.
That's frightening, Adrian. Don't you think that's kind of a weird...
Yes, it is worrying. I like the way they now have got him under surveillance just in case he decides to come back again.
That's just insane.
I have got a friend that used to install air conditioning and refrigeration units, and one of his jobs was to climb over dead bodies in mortuaries to check that the refrigeration units, you know, were actually working. And he did tell me that they would groan and let out strange gases and twitch and things, but to actually open an eye and to then grab you by the hand.
Well, I know when my friend Rick, his father died when we were in eighth grade, and we went to the wake together. We were standing there, and the two of us were just kind of staring at the body, talking, and then we both turned and looked at each other. We both saw him twitch, and that was like days after he had passed and had already been embalmed. So it makes me wonder how the hell could he do that, and it wasn't just a... You know, if you look at something long enough, something might appear to move.
Sure.
But the two of us both saw this thing twitch and then looked at each other. That was, to me, unnerving.
I know a lot of gases are produced, aren't there, as all the body organs break down. They say if you're ever going to dump a body in a river and you tie it up and put weights to it, you need to puncture all the vital organs to let all the gases and the air out. Not that I've done research on this. I looked into it.
My God.
On how to hide a body.
Good thing there's glass between me and you guys.
That's why you
At the moment, Tim, yes.
That's why I like Kevin Adrian as my friend. He's a thorough body... hider, I guess. A body hider. What the hell is the right term for that?
A hider of bodies.
Yes, we'll just take that. We have to take our next break. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio with international news correspondent Adrian Lee. We'll be back with more strange and weird newses from weird newses. Dude, my mind is gone. I'm still wrapped up in that mere idea that this guy might be conscious in his own body and he's
dead. I've still got the meat cologne smell in the air, so I'm struggling beyond that, to be honest.
That was just the gases released from my body. We're going to be back with more. I like that. I had that little aha in there for you, Tim.
That was nice. Yeah.
Why this song of all of them?
It's British. I don't know. I'm
bloody. You're just
I'm trying to find
British?
The silliest British songs I can find. And
the silliest.
I don't get them.
Look for the Laughing Gnome by David Bowie if you want to look for
it's
David
not
Bowie.
We don't have that obscure stuff. China Girl we got.
Hey, Resident Evil Degeneration is now out on Blu-ray and DVD. It came out December 27th.
Click
it's
it a brand or new... sit in it.
You
know the latest traffic conditions the... beef.
Hello?
Every once in a while it just...
I guess it just fires on its own. Is that the whole deal? Anyway, as I was saying, Resident Evil Degeneration is now out on DVD and Blu-ray. You can go get a copy of it at any store. It's a great movie. It's the first full-length animated CG movie tying in the Resident Evil world. A zombie attack brings chaos to Hardverville Airport, along with Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield, who fought this sinister Umbrella Corporation during the Raccoon City tragedy 7 years ago. They're back in high-octane Resident Evil style, ready to battle a rogue warrior who's seeking revenge after his family was killed in Raccoon City. The deadly G virus is unleashed, and a new mutated monster goes on the rampage. Will Claire and Leon be able to terminate the virus before history repeats itself? All right. If you want a copy of that movie, we have another copy to give away. In the original video game, what version of the virus had been infected into the zombies? Got that answer now, Tim? Yep, that's the answer. All right, so the first person that can call in correctly and give me the correct virus name, if you can win your copy of Resident Evil Degeneration, the movie. We're going to go back to international news correspondent Adrian Lee. Where are we off to next, sir?
Well, flying over to the land of Dracula and keeping with all things dead, if I may. A hotel in Romania has become a local attraction after a photograph of a ghost was published by newspapers and television. The ghost of a tall woman in a long white dress reportedly watches the hallways and staircases of the Decibel Hotel in the Bel Herculane Mountain Spa. The 150-year-old hotel is believed to hide ancient Roman treasure under its foundations, and the ghost is said by locals to keep treasure hunters away. The hotel has been closed for renovations for 5 years, but people who have ventured inside claim to have seen and photographed the ghost. Victoria Iovan, 33, said, "I photographed my boyfriend in the hotel, and back home I was shocked to see another woman's shadow in the picture. She looked like a priestess in a long white dress." Another witness, a high school student called Alexandra, said he and six classmates went into the hotel late one evening for fun. All of a sudden, we felt a cold air and we saw a white silhouette close to us, and they said we couldn't run quick enough to get out of the building. Local authorities have warned people not to go into the hotel because they say it is unsafe and because of the building work. But this photograph is actually quite a good photo. If you go onto the Darkness Radio website and actually look at the news section, this photograph should be posted there that this woman took in the hotel, and you can see the ghostly outline of this woman wearing the white dress.
Yep, darknessradio.com. Click on the news desk. Tim, give me a quick nod. Do we have a winner? Yes, we do. So, folks, if you're on hold or calling in, you can hang up. We already have a winner for the second DVD of Degeneration. We'll have more questions throughout the night, so stay tuned. You'll be able to win a chance in a little bit. All right, where are we off to next, Mr. Lee?
Okay, from missing Roman treasure to missing planes, this was a story that I want to recap on from last week. The pilot of a plane that disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle with 11 passengers aboard had only a US student pilot license and should never have been allowed to fly, the Dominican authorities said on Wednesday. Adriano Jimenez had been stripped of his Dominican license in 2006 because he was caught flying multi-engine planes when he was only authorized to fly helicopters, said Pedro Dominguez, president of the Dominican Pilots Association. 2 weeks ago, he had a minor accident whilst landing a small plane at the Dominican airport. Jimenez loaded 11 passengers onto a twin-engine plane in Santiago last week and filed a flight plan for a landing in the Bahamas, but he never arrived, according to the Dominican Civil Aviation Institute. Jimenez sent an emergency signal about 35 minutes after takeoff and then disappeared from the radar. He was flying in low visibility over rough seas, according to the U.S. Coast Guard Petty Officer Barry Beener. Rescue crews have searched about 4,000 square miles, but have not turned up any sign of the plane or its passengers. The plane went missing in the Bermuda Triangle, a zone of the Atlantic Ocean noted for supposedly high number of unexplained losses of small boats and aircraft. The U.S. Coast Guard says the mysteries can usually be attributed to storms that flare up quickly and to swift Gulf Stream currents that then wash any evidence of wreckage away. The pilot who was supposed to fly the plane with Jimenez at his side refused to do so when Jimenez arrived at the airport with 11 passengers. He said Jimenez then took the plane out himself without authorization. Boy, was that a good decision, wasn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. And now they're just totally gone. No sign, no...
Absolutely nothing. They've no idea where they are. They've got no sign of any wreckage. The plane's not landed anywhere because if I remember back to the report last week, at one point it was said that they were actually planning to land in New York. So the plane's completely gone. There's no record of it anywhere. There's been no wreckage found, and they've lost all 11 passengers and pilot on board at the moment.
Oh, that's sad to hear. All right, where are we off to next?
Well, from one mysterious disappearance to another, a Malaysian woman claims that aliens are responsible for the disappearance of her husband. Manis Jintukod claims her husband Yabi vanished in front of her eyes, while Yabi's brother-in-law says that he told him of an encounter with an alien with a square body. Murhat told the Malaysian Star, "The night before Yabi disappeared, he was wearing white and his feet were not touching the ground." This, however, is not the first time Yabi has vanished. Apparently, only 2 days before, Yabi had previously disappeared, only to be found sitting in a bush in a stupor. Probably smelling of cheap perfume, sneezing incessantly and clutching a pill bottle with Russian writing on it, no doubt. I mean, do you think in the 21st century, UFO abductions are now generally accepted within the normal framework of society, that you could actually use them as an excuse for an illicit affair? I mean, when you turn up after 2 days with your clothes torn, looking dishevelled and dehydrated, and with strange marks all over your body, is that a line do you think you could get away with now?
I don't know. I mean, there was a famous story that was circulating after the 9/11 tragedy here, where the woman, you know, was watching on the news as this happened. Her husband worked there, and he called to check in on her. And she said, "Oh, my God, where are you?" He goes, "Oh, I'm at work." And he was actually having an affair. He was at a hotel with his fling and wasn't watching the news, so had no idea that the building that he worked in had been attacked. See, that was trying to use...
That undermines your excuse to a certain degree, doesn't
it? Yeah, a little bit.
The facts got in the way a bit there,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, that's not a good plan. All right, we're Tim, did we have a winner on that one?
Yeah.
And who was it?
Stefan from Minneapolis.
Stefan from Minneapolis. And the answer, of course, was the original virus was the T-virus. So thanks for that. We'll be giving away more copies of Resident Evil Degeneration throughout the night. So stay tuned. Where are we off to next, Mr. Lee?
Well, I found a nice report this week that I wanted to share with you about some of the possible explanations of what the Star of Bethlehem may have been. The Gospel according to Matthew is the only book of the New Testament that mentions the mysterious star. According to Matthew's account of the story, the star did behave, though, in a supernatural manner. It is true to say that stars, in their apparent relationship to other stars in the night sky, don't actually appear to move. They appear to move only in their progression from east to west and across the night sky as the Earth rotates, and they also appear to progress across the sky again from east to west over weeks and months as the Earth orbits the Sun. The Magi saw the star in the east and followed it, presumably as it moved towards the west. They followed its progression across the sky over a number of days or weeks, but then the celestial object did something very unusual. It actually stopped and stood over where the child was. So whatever this object was stopped in its progression in the sky, according to Matthew, so the Magi would now know where the child was to be found. But no mention is made of the other stars stopping at all, just this particular one. And some research indicates that the Magi were astronomers from Persia, so this star, which would have been quite ordinary in appearance, held some astrological significance for them. But that still does not explain how it was able to stop in the sky. But the report goes on to talk about several theories of why that star would have appeared, if you'd like me to continue,
please,
sir.
Please, yes.
Okay. There are several other theories, some logical and some wacky, as to what this extraordinary star could have been. So if I read through those, firstly suggested as a supernova, which is a star entering a new stage of its life. It actually explodes and gives off enormous amounts of light. In this case, the star could have been one that had been too faint to see with the naked eye, and in its new brilliance was then able to be seen by astrologers and actually labelled as significant. British astronomer David H. Clark and two associates reported in the Quarterly Journal of the Royal Astronomical Society that a supernova explosion actually occurred in the spring of 5 BC in the constellation of Capricorn, to actually back that up. Second theory is that it was a comet, which would have been noticed by astronomers and would have had a separate apparent movement in the sky with a relationship to the stars. And depending on its trajectory, it could have appeared to have actually been at a standstill for some time in the sky. And as it turns out, Halley's Comet actually passed overhead in 12 BC. An ancient Chinese astronomical record showed that two objects were unexpectedly seen in the heavens around that time. One of these was a comet that appeared in the vicinity of Alpha and Beta Capricorni in March 5 BC. And another comet appeared in April 4 BC near Altai in the constellation of Aquila. The third suggestion is it may have been a UFO. Many who believe that the god or gods of tradition were actually alien visitors advance the idea that the star could have been a UFO or a spaceship that led the Magi to Bethlehem. It's the only one that explains how the object could have suddenly appeared, moved, and stopped for no apparent reason, with the purpose of pinpointing Jesus' birth. Fourth suggestion is that Matthew actually made it all up. The story of the miraculous star being such an amazing one, it's remarkable that none of the other three writers of the Gospel was actually picked up on this. In fact, Luke is the only other Gospel that relates to the birth of Jesus. Mark and John skip all of that and go straight to adulthood. But Luke makes no mention of the wandering star at all if you actually read through that. And finally, there's the suggestion that it may have been a planetary conjunction. Astronomer Johannes Kepler proposed in the 17th century that the Star of Bethlehem could have been the conjunction of the planets Jupiter and Saturn. And such a rare conjunction actually took place in 7 BC in the constellation of Pisces, which is a zodiacal sign sometimes connected to the Hebrews. But Kepler actually preferred the supernova explanation himself. So some interesting theories there came out this week regarding the Star of Bethlehem.
We'll have to talk to our guest that's coming up in about 15 minutes, Sean Castile, because one of his theories is that it might be alien in nature as well. So we'll have to talk to him about what his thoughts are on it being a UFO. I have heard that theme as well. Well, we're going to take our final break for this hour. We'll be back with more news stories from Adrian Lee and more paranormal talk. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, Tim Dennis. And in studio this week, international news correspondent Adrian Lee. Adrian, where are we off to next, sir?
Okay, a festive UFO story from Britain now, because I know you'd be disappointed if I never included one.
That's right.
A young girl's letter to Santa caused a commotion when local residents mistook it for a UFO. People in the borders town of Peebles in Scotland contacted a newspaper and local radio station after seeing a group of bright lights in the night sky. But instead of aliens trying to land, the lights were flying lanterns carrying letters to Santa, which had been set off by a local man, Ian Weir. The father of three was trying to give his five-year-old daughter Ellie a science lesson after she quizzed him about hot air balloons. It wasn't until he heard his neighbours talking about the sightings that he realised the uproar he had caused. He said, "There was a very colourful hot air balloon flying over Peebles and my daughter asked how they worked. I thought of trying to build one to demonstrate it, but had visions of a plastic bag going up in flames. Instead, he bought the lanterns online and prepared for his scientific experiment after reading a story about another family had used them to contact Father Christmas, or Santa as you call it over here. It wasn't until his mother-in-law mentioned that she had heard about the UFO sightings on a local radio station that Mr. Weir realised the commotion he had caused. I just didn't think when we sent the balloons up, all I was worried about was making sure they weren't blowing off on anyone's roof or catching anything alight. I mean, he sounds like a very practical father to me. I'm glad she never asked him about ballistic science. Otherwise, there'd have been one less at the dinner table that Christmas, I suspect."
Daddy, what's thermonuclear war? Good thing.
You can't knock that up in your shed or buy that from eBay, though, can you?
Where are we up to?
Okay, to finish with, I actually got quite a number of witchy stories this week.
Awesome.
So we've got a nice theme there. Male sex organs are allegedly disappearing with a simple handshake in the town of Guidi in the far north region of Cameroon. Fear and confusion now plagues the men in the country after repeated reports of this strange phenomenon. It all started a few weeks ago when three men alleged that their sex organs had disappeared mysteriously, pointing fingers at another gentleman. The latter was brutally beaten until the police intervened. The three men were immediately taken to a health centre, and after a series of tests were carried out by chief medical officers, no abnormalities were identified. In the town of Mago and Puce, some other persons alleged that their sex organs had disappeared, but medical examinations also revealed no abnormalities. The most dramatic incident took place on Valley. The incident involved six men who cried out for help after shaking hands with a stranger. They complained that their sex organs had disappeared strangely, and the crowd pounced on the accused, determined to have him pay for the price for all of his witchcraft. The gentleman was almost lynched. One of the six victims explains that he was ripped by a strange sensation when he was greeted by the accused. He said that he had goose pimples at the moment he shook hands, and it felt as if his sex organs had shrunk into his stomach. By the way, I know what that feels like, having spent 2 weeks in a Minnesotan winter, by the way.
Amen.
The panic-stricken population of Mayo Darnay Division is presently very vigilant. They take nothing for granted, and above all, there's been no handshakes with any strangers.
So now, but when you said the doctors checked these people out, they still saw that they had private parts?
Everything was intact and how it should be, yeah.
So, Tim, what's that TV show on the Sci-Fi Channel that guy who was going out and, he'd hand people paper, blank pieces of paper as though it was real money, and he'd talk to them and kind of hypnotize them into thinking these things. Do you remember that?
No.
Way to be up on it, buddy.
You watch too much Sci-Fi Channel. That's gonna
be
some
maybe
sort
somebody
of
in the chat room would know. No, there was a show on where this guy would go. He was like a mentalist, and he would go in and he would see. He'd go in and he'd talk to people like at a fancy jewelry store, and he'd pay for it with like a $1 bill and a stack of blank paper. And as he'd talk to him and, take it. And it was just this implant. And then he'd walk out of the store with all these jewels. And then the guy would stand there for about 10 minutes and all of a sudden be like, what the hell?
I have seen shows in Britain where you can brainwash people or give them auto-suggestions. And this guy was walking up to people in the street and just saying, can I have your wallet? And they'd say,
right,
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And they would hand their wallet over.
Right. I wonder
and
if
a minute later.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be realization. I wonder if that's what was happening to these people. There was some kind of auto-suggestion that they're privates had vanished.
I know that a lot of the stories I get on a weekly basis have a lot of witchcraft involved in Africa. It's not uncommon. I mean, the stories I've got following this now are based around India and Africa, and it is quite common for them to believe that they could be cursed or that there's people that would create spells for them. So it's not unusual for this kind of panic to spread in these places from what I've done on research.
All right, well, what's our next story and where?
Okay, keeping with all things witchy then and moving easterly, Indian police began a probe on Monday into reports that villagers in a tribal area of central India beat 50 women with sticks after accusing them of witchcraft and actually cut their hair off. The villagers acted on the advice of a local spiritual man who said the assault would protect them from the evil spirits. And in a forest and in the poor district of Chhattisgarh state, which is 250 miles from the capital, Raipur, police said dozens of women are killed every year on the suspicion of being witches or witch doctors in India. And where suspicion is widespread, especially in rural areas, they lack effective schooling systems. And this actually contributes to the problem. While there are a few killings in Chhattisgarh, more than 100 women are tortured, paraded naked or harassed in the state every year, officials say. Police have begun a probe and interrogated dozens of villagers and hosted a 9-day purification ceremony where they forcibly cut their hair of about 50 women, branding them witches, and also beat them up publicly. The state actually passed a Witchcraft Prevention Act in 2005 to counter a rise in witch hunts, handing out jail terms up to 5 years for offenders, although many cases are still reported. Chief Minister Raman Singh called the latest assault inhuman, unfortunate and shameful, and asked the state's police chief to investigate the case further.
See, now you know the truth. Tim and I are witches. They shaved our heads. That's why we look this way.
Well, there you go.
Tim, did we get an answer on that TV show?
Yeah, the name of the guy is Darren Brown, and it's a show called Mind Control. There was one version of it in Britain, evidently, one here in the United States that aired on the Sci-Fi Channel.
We've seen them on our respective continents together.
Very good. All right, and next story, please.
Yeah, witching westerly again. Police have arrested a man in the... police have arrested a man in southeastern Nigeria who said in a television documentary he had killed 110 children he believed to be possessed by evil spirits. Rights campaigners say fraudulent pastors or witch doctors in some parts of Nigeria convince parents that their children are possessed and will bring misfortunes such as divorce or disease so as to extort money or to perform exorcisms. Some accused children fall into the hands of child trafficking networks after being handed over by their parents. Bishop Sunday Alap Ayer, arrested in Mumba, close to the Atlantic coast with six other suspects, has claimed in a documentary to have killed 110 children beset by evil spirits. He says, "I'm not denying that I'm a witch doctor, but that I killed, the people that I killed are witches, and you know, they're children that I've killed, and they're possessed by the devil." And he's admitted this on television and on the radio.
My kids would never last 5 minutes around this guy. He'd behead all of them. They're evil. Evil! All right. Well, thank you very much for stopping in this evening, Adrian. Feel free to stay in for our next guest. We're going to be back with Sean Castile. We're going to be talking about signs and symbols of the second coming. Find out a little bit more about what do we expect and are we in the end times? And then in their third hour, we're going to be visited by Tim Swartz, who's going to teach us about time travel. And basically he's written a book on how to do it. So we're going to find out if it's something we can do and get ourselves involved with. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. Thank you for joining us live in studio, Adrian.
A pleasure as always, sir.
We'll be back with more. Tim and I will be here along with Adrian. You're listening to us on 100.3 K-Talk.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.